good. Does that sound loud, or do I just feel loud? We're fine? We're good? Right. Apologies if you hear ringing lugs by the time you go home. Oh, man. Didn't think I was getting much to stand up. Right. So as I mentioned last week, the Lord woke me up, and he was speaking to me about Psalm 18, and I really, really just got this word victory. The victory that has already been deed in my life, the victory that he wants to deed in my life, but the victory that is available for everybody in this place this morning is what I'm excited about. And I started at the point in Psalm 18, verse 6, and it says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. And this really is the testimony of my life. And it's what I'm going to be doing this morning. It's just about testifying. And it was just before I went out of Wales, I sat, and I was reading Psalm 18, but specifically at 10 verses that I read out from verse 30 to 40. And I sat doing a journal, this 10 verses. I don't know if I'm for my generation minds, but do you mind how this film came out and it was called 10 Things I Hate About You? Maybe I was the only one that watched cheesy American teen dramas at that point, but I did. But when I read this 10 verses, I was like, oh my goodness, I was just inspired to write my own poem, because what happens in this drama film, I was just crying alone in the fan love and all the rest of it. But she writes a poem at the end of this film. And it's basically 10 things that she hates about the guy. And then at the very end of the poem, it turns out that she doesn't really hate him at all. She doesn't love him. I was like, okay. Right. But when I was reading this 10 verses, I was inspired. And so I'd write down a verse, and then I would write down a bit underneath it about what the Lord had done in my life. So it was 10 things that God had done for me. And I got so excited about it, I wrote three different titles to the poem. It was 10 things I love about you, 10 things that you've done in my life, 10 things I didn't know about you. So I had lots of titles going on. It was just, I get really excited about being creative, and I just like to let it out sometimes. Sometimes it makes folk uncomfortable to be a bit creative and passionate in this culture, but I just like to put it out, yeah. So, especially when I'm with the Lord, because I can that it's a safe place, and he likes my creative quirkiness and expression. Because for me, that's what the Psalms are. They're full of all these people that were full of a passion towards God and just wanted to get it out, yeah. So I had written all this creative little 10 things I didn't know about the Lord thing. And that was just the week before I get away. And then my good friend Elsa wanted to see me before I get away to Wales. She's like, oh, come room for coffee. Now, when you go room to coffee for Elsa, so you're not just going room for coffee, right? You can, that your good friend Elsa is sitting in the Lord's presence asking, what do you want me to say? So you just, it's great, because you never can if it's going to happen when you go around. That's my kind of coffee date. We did actually have coffee and had a good speak, but she really felt that she wanted to read Psalm 18, or my life. I was like, whoa, I just sat and wrote about that, my expressive poem. But it was in the Passion Translation, and that you read the whole psalm, and I remember you saying to Matt, it's a very long psalm. I'm going to read it. That's my impression of you. But it was amazing, because it was like this awesome, passionate words, the Lord speaking over my life. And it was that word victory again. He was speaking victory over my life. And it wasn't just comfortable victory. It was fierce and passionate victory. And I love the word poem, actually. I found a suit a couple of years ago that the word poem comes from the Greek word poema. And what it means is that's what which is made, craftsmanship, masterpiece. But it's not just something that was made really quickly and knocked together. Somebody's taken the great care and attention, or they've poured their very life into it. That's what poema means. Craftsmanship. And it's in Ephesians when God says that we are his masterpiece, we're his craftsmanship, we're his poem, we're his creative expression of love to the world. We're the Ian that's got to be so full of his fire that we're dying just to be quite uncomfortably expressive towards people in love. That does get a wee bit, but it's good because it's God's love. And we're his craftsmanship. And I love getting excited about us creative stuff and the word poem. I've got a niece new, and she's going to want to be one in March. So last year, when she was born, I was so overcome with this brand new love. Like, I was so excited for days and days. And then I just decided one day after work, I get home, and I sat in the living room, and I was like, I'm going to write a poem. So I did. I wrote her a poem after she was born, and I made it all bony in a computer, and I put it in a frame. Posted it down, and I thought, but I just needed to express myself creatively and love, and I did by doing it. And I just love how God's word, not just his Psalms, but it's how he fully expresses himself to this. And he's just got so much to express this morning in his love that he just wants to pour and pour and pour his love into you through his word. He's just got so much for a world that is constantly looking for things. And they're just getting broken hearts and our shattered dreams, lost souls, looking for identity, folk locked up in fear. And God has got this expressive love that he just wants to shower on us through his word. So I had met with Elsa. She prayed over Psalm 18. And then off I went to Bible college. A lot of yous came out, some of yous didn't. Get away down to Wales for 3 weeks to the Bible college in Swansea. And it was great. I had like miracles of provision, like really strong visions. Like I knew that I was meant to be there. It was like something I'd never done in my life. But when I got there, it was like the biggest spiritual battle in my life began. Every single fear or anxiety seemed to rear its ugly head. It got whacked up to like number 100, and it was the craziest spiritual battle I have ever been in my life. It was, I was barely sleeping 3 or 4 hours for the first, like every night for the first couple of weeks. I think I must have lost about a steam because I was just so full of anxiety that I could not eat properly. And I did two things. I was surrounded by an amazing prayer community, and the battle really was on, and I was encouraged and looked after every day. I was not left to my own devices. It was good because the Lord was in it. But when it came to night time, when I was supposed to go to my bed, that was the worst for me. And there were two things I would do when I was going to my bed. And I was sleepy and I was grumpy. I mean, I must have been a hoot to hang about with, I must say. So the first thing that I would do was I would get really angry in my spirit, and I would get out of my bed and I would start praying in tongues. And I just felt a bit like Jacob when he wrestled with the Lord and he wouldn't let go. And it was almost like I was like, well, you took me here, so you're going to have to do something about this. And I would just keep praying in tongues. And other times I would just be too tired. And what I would do was I would just get out my Audible Bible and I would play Psalm 18. And heaps of nights, or through day when I was trying to nap, I would just put Psalm 18 on, I would put my earphones in, and I would try to sleep, and I would just let it play and play and play. And that was God's victory in my life. And that's what I did. And his word of victory, even in the midst of the battle, for it hadn't broken yet, that was when I decided I was going to start singing victory, I was going to start speaking victory, and declare it over my life. And that's when you come to that point, is you've got to almost get stubborn about it, that no, this is the promises I've got for my life. This is the truth that God has said for my life. And this is what I'm going to declare and declare and declare until the victory comes, because that's what he has for us. That's what he has for us. So what actually happened was I continued to push through, was really well supported for my chums and I. And in one prayer meeting, I just heard the Lord say to me that in 40 days, if I left the brook, that I was never ever going to deal with irrational thoughts ever again. Now, this was irrational thoughts that I'd seen since I was a teenager and produced all the anxiety in my life. It governed every decision I made, like when I was going to sleep, how long I was going to sleep for, I was going to go on holiday, what time I was going to eat, what I was going to eat. Like, it governed every single thing and decision in my life. And as soon as he said it, he goes, in 40 days, you're never going to hit a deal with us ever again. And on the 40th day, I wasn't a big flash for heaven or an angel in my room or anything, but I just got up and I instantly knew that my life was never going to be the same. And it hisna. I've never, ever, ever had to deal with that same irrational thought for that day. There's been other battles in life and stuff happening, but I always come back. And it was almost like I check my mind, like they've got little drawers and cupboards in there. And I always kind of go back here and then I say, that's not there on me. That's really not there. And then I start rejoicing at the fact that there's other stuff going on, but guess what? That miracle is still ongoing in my life. Like, you hate bad days, but I'm constantly, constantly going back to that place and seeing, this miracle is ongoing. It's not coming back. These irrational thoughts, it really wouldn't go away. Now, I had been through doctors, medication, psychologists, counseling, prayer counseling, which is all right, and have got their place in life. But it didn't shift until that day, and it has never been the same. It's a victory in my life that I walk out, that I carry, that I really feel that the Lord wants to release into this place today. Because it's not for me. It's not just for me. Now, I've just testified to fit the Lord has done. I've gone back to a place of where he's done something amazing. And I heard once, I think it was Bill Johnson that maybe preached on this, that the word testimony in Hebrew comes from a root word that means to do it again. And I didn't check out the entire theology of it. Feel free to do that. But I have briefly read that you can trace it back to that root word. But I really feel that the Lord, this is what he dropped in my spirit last week, which I've been carrying in the spirit, is victory. Victory for your lives. Victory in the midst of a battle, victory or illness, victory or fears and anxieties. He just wants to come and meet with us in that place. And then that is all that I wanted to share this morning. I had spoken to Paul, I had spoken to Gilbert, that I just really feel that I'm just going to give the Lord room to do what he wants to do this morning. Because there's such a sense of his presence now, or was this morning when we started, and he wants to meet with you in that way, like he meets with me, with anybody else. He wants victory for your life. It is here this morning. This is for everybody to just partake. I'm inviting you to come to the front to worship. When the worship starts, I will be there. I just want to meet with the Lord right now, because the Lord can do something far more mighty in 2 minutes through his spirit than I could do in 20 minutes of speaking. And I really feel that we've got to give him room this morning for us to come to push in to hear the promises he's got for your life and to be set free and the things that he's got for us. So if the worship band wants to come back up, I'm excited. I hope you're excited, because I'm expecting this morning for the Lord to move and for the things that he's got for us. And if you come, I'm inviting you, officially inviting every single one of you to come and meet with the Lord to the front. It's not that he can't meet you at your seat, but there's something about responding to the Holy Spirit and actually moving into something. It shifts heaven. And there were in so many situations where we need a shift of heaven. For heaven to open and touch earth is something awesome. So let's just stand up for where we're at right now. If you pray in a heavenly language, pray in a heavenly language, pray in tongues. Start worshiping Jesus. Start worshiping Jesus right now. Let's not settle for our fears. Let's not settle for complacency, but for the passion that emanates out of his word, for the passion that arrives in his spirit, for the passion that he's stirring up in you right now. Jesus, 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 we welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We want to meet with you, Lord, and the victory that you have promised us by your word. You have led us to this point, Jesus, for everything that we've all battled through this week, God. We give you glory and say, Jesus, you are welcome here. Start crying out to him. Tell him that he's welcome here. You want to meet with him. Let's just let fear of man go and say that we want heaven. We're hungry for you, Lord. We want to marry you. We want to step out our comfort zones. We want to step out the boat, like Paul said, or get on the roller coaster to partner with the Holy Spirit, Father. We're saying we're giving you room in this place. We're desperate for you. So I don't care if you've been in this church 5 weeks or 50 years, but this place at the front is for you to step into, for something that you've been working in the Spirit for years. The Lord has got your victory. He's got your breakthrough, folks. Do you believe it this morning? Because Jesus is a man of his word. He's a man of covenant, and he comes through. Jesus comes through. You are looking at a life transformed because Jesus comes through. Let it be the song of my life. Let it be the song of your life right now. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Continue to raise your hallelujah, because heaven is listening right now, folks. There are bowls being ready to pour on this place, to Fraserburgh Community Church. Why? Because God is good. We think, oh, we're a small place. What good can come out of Nazareth? What good can come out of this place? But it's about us. It's about the Lord and the hearts that have hungered for him. Heaven is listening, folks. Heaven is listening. Surrender yourself to his power, to his love, to the words that he's got for you. Join us in the river at the front that has always flown in this place. It's always been a picture. Whether it's been a river or fire, it is available. It has been confirmed so much times at the front of West Church. The fire, the river, the Holy Spirit wants to consume your life. He's sending you an invitation. He's sending you an invitation. Jesus.